800-649-6686. Now, Bill Hendry.
You seeing, Vernon?
I teach this in the guidance and health class that I have at the Delmar Academy, and this is race relations, and it's very important. And I think with American Idol, we have a great opportunity to teach our young people and everybody, I think, the value of maintaining good relations between the races.
All right, I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. He is a history, math, and guidance counselor at Delmar Academy, as well as a high school football coach. So, with the American Idol balloting coming up next week, and that means the winner gets voted on next week.
That is correct. That's between, I think it's Calvin and...
Calvin and Reuben?
Calvin and Reuben. Reuben is the young African-American gentleman, and Calvin is the white gentleman. And what you want to do, and I would encourage everyone, just to tell you what I teach the kids in our class, and I would say the same thing to all your listeners, Phil. I'm saying that everybody who watches American Idol next week, pick up the phone at the end of the show, vote for Reuben. Who is the African American, and that'll keep things very calm. And believe me, you won't have to deal with a lot of black folks complaining about racism, because what happens, Phil, and I have seen this time and again, and I teach this in my class, if the black individual thinks that there's racism, if you don't let them win a fairly consistent number of times, they go wild. Now, I've seen it happen.
Well, what do you mean when you say they go wild? The African-Americans will go...
I've seen this happen. This whole deal they had a few years ago when the blacks ran wild, I don't know what...
You're talking about the Rodney King, the LAPD?
That is correct. You're going to have...
Well, there's not going to be a riot if Reuben doesn't win on American Idol.
No, I'm not saying that, Phil. What I'm saying is the African-American, and with good reason, because I have taught race relations, I've taught guidance. With very good reason, African Americans do not trust the system. And they think, for instance, that the police might plant evidence. We have got to give them every reason in the world to understand and believe that we just want to keep things calm. And we don't need any of this, a lot of these people running wild and all of this. So I would say...
So at the end of American Idol, vote for Reuben, whether you think he's a better singer or not.
I would say yes.
Do you think African-American people complaining about racism is so prevalent that we have to vote for an African-American to win American Idol even if we don't like him?
It's Phil, in a lot of ways, it is prevalent. I had a kid in school who was failing history, which is one of the classes that I teach to sophomores. Well... as you might guess, the kid's black, and
What do you mean, as you might guess?
Well, only to say that the story relates to a black kid, not to say that a black kid isn't going to be able to do history.
All right.
Anyway, the kid's black, and rather than have to deal with complaints of racism from his parents, I gave the kid a passing grade. And I believe me, I've worked with minorities, and it's easy.
Wait a minute. I've never encountered the need to do that, and I think that it's not fair to a young person failing a class.
Believe me, Phil, you aren't very aware. When you come upon a moment when you can choose, if you come upon a moment, Phil, believe me, where you can choose between failing a young black student or having him move on, even though you ought to fail him, just let him move on. Don't even deal with it. Believe me, you are light years ahead. Light years ahead if you just let sleeping dogs lie, or they get crazy. Now, I was looking at cars last weekend, and I'll give you an example, Phil, from my own life.
I just want to say this. I think when you say they get crazy, if you don't let blacks win contests, they get crazy. If you don't pass them at grades, even though they deserve to fail, they get crazy. It makes them sound irrational.
I don't mean to say that.
Well, then maybe another word like... there's a certain belief in bias, they have a certain misconception about bias?
You could call it that. I want to give an example of Phil if I could.
But you understand what I'm saying?
I understand. I am not being racist. I'm trying to keep race relations good. I'm just saying if a black guy has a chance to win American Idol and a white guy has a chance, vote for the black guy. Avoid the problems. Avoid all the screaming and yelling and crying and everything else that's going to happen. Because you know the minute you vote in a white guy, you're going to get a million of these, you call them the...
African-Americans.
African-Americans, they're gonna go. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I was looking at cars last weekend, and a black sales guy came over. And I realized, if I blow this guy off, he'll get nuts and think I'm a racist. So I spent a half hour listening to this guy's spiel. Now, if he'd been a white guy, I would have blown him off. So you see, you don't want him to get crazy.
Wait. An African-American salesman comes over to you to sell you a car?
I was looking at cars. Yeah, I was on a Lexus lot.
Okay. And you listened to him for a half hour because if you'd blown him off, he'd think you were racist.
That's exactly correct. Believe me, Phil, and this is what I teach the kids. If you have an opportunity to keep the situation calm by just letting some black guy cut in line in front of you or whatever it is, go ahead and do it, because that way...
You know, there's a tacit sense of racism in what you're saying.
No, I think you missed... No, Phil, that's not what I'm saying.
Let the black guy cut in line...
I'm trying to keep the situation calm, and that's what I teach my people. Believe me, Phil, I know what I'm talking about. I have dealt with this for 35 years. I've been a high school teacher for 33 years. I know what I'm talking about. And the best thing to do in that situation is just listen to the guy. Because if I blew him off and said, you know what, I don't want to listen to your sales pitch, he's going to think I'm a racist. He'll think I'm a Klansman or something. Now, all I'm saying is next week when America's asked to vote for the new American Idol, for God's sake, for just to keep everybody's mouth shut, just vote for Ruben. For Ruben, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We're talking with Vernon Dozier. He's a guidance teacher. He teaches race relations, math, history at Belmar Academy. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Why is it that there's something about what you're telling me that seems offensive? It seems condescending. It seems like you're pandering to African Americans rather than really believing, perhaps, in their right to win? You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, vote for Ruben. You're saying vote for Ruben on American Idol, not because you may think he's a good singer, but because he's black and you don't want them to complain about racism.
Look, Phil, everybody knows Ruben's a good singer. Everybody knows Ruben's a good singer.
But that's not, you're saying don't vote for him because he's a good singer. You're saying vote for him because he's black.
I'm saying... Just for the sake of keeping it down to a roar, so you don't have a lot of your African Americans running wild out there and accusing everybody of being a George Wallace or some GD thing like that. I'm saying, vote for him because you won't be voting for a bad guy, bad singer. You'll be voting for a good singer. You'll be voting for...
What if I just happen to think Clay's a better singer?
I think at this stage of the game, that's stupid. Clay is good. Clay's no better than Ruben. Ruben's no better than Clay.
So you think they're both equal?
I think they're both equal. That's why I'm saying vote for the black guy. It'll keep... You'll be voting for a guy that's just as good as Clay, and on top of it, you won't have them go, they won't go wild on you.
So you keep saying they won't go wild on you. You're talking... You know,
Phil, I don't mean to be offensive. What I'm saying is they, meaning the African-American community in the United States, will be calm. You can calm them down a little bit. You can,
Again, a lot of it sounds, I know you're a good man and your heart's in the right place, but a lot of it sounds pandering.
Mr. Andrew, please, I'm around these volatile situations every single day. I think I know what I'm talking about. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to condescend to you, but I am a teacher.
I appreciate that.
And I have been a high school teacher around... and I do teach race relations.
In your classroom, are you telling the kids this? You say you teach high school class. Absolutely. You teach race relations in high school, and you tell the kids, just let the black guy cut in line?
Look, let's put the situation...
But you said that, right?
I did say that, but let me give you the situation. You stand in line, you're hungry, it's lunch. Along comes some big, one of the big blacks from the basketball team. Butts right in line. You want to start something with him?
Well, I would say something to a teacher. I would say something...
Oh, so you want to say something to a teacher, which means he'll know that you squealed on him. Now he'll say you're racist because you singled him out.
No, he won't.
Oh, he won't. Then you ought to be...
Wait a minute. You know, you're sort of lumping every black person together. Maybe he'll just... I'm just saying, that guy cut in line. So I go to a teacher and say, this guy cut in line. I'm waiting for lunch.
Believe me, Phil, I've been around long enough to know you may think that the guy's going to understand it's just one-on-one. But believe me, a lot of what you say this guy cut in line, he'll turn around and look at you and go, well, you racist. You hate blacks, and that's why you're coming down on me. Just let him cut in line. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I don't know whether I would give that advice or not to a young person of mine. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier, who's a guidance teacher and a health teacher at Belmar Academy, talking about next week's American Idol. Reuben and Calvin are up against each other. Clay, excuse me. Clay is white, Reuben's black. And Mr. Dozier is saying, vote for the black guy at the end of the show to just keep African Americans happy. Otherwise, they'll think it's racism that got Clay to win. And I understand the need, obviously, in our country, because we've made so much progress in our country for good race relations. But at the same token, to patronize that way seems destructive, I would think. I also want to say that he mentioned that they're both equally good, so voting for the black guy wouldn't make any difference because he's just as good as Clay. I don't know. I think Clay's a better singer, personally. I like Reuben. I like the guy's whole act. I like the fact that he's got guts. Do you know what I'm saying, Mr. Dozier?
See, now you're being racist.
What do you mean I'm being racist?
You like his whole act. You see what I'm saying? You like his whole act, like he's the big, funny black guy.
No, I did not say that. I just said that I like what I see, but I think Clay's a better singer.
Clay may be a better... Well, I don't think he is. I think they're equal. But see, you like him. Why? Because you're a racist? Or,
no, because I'm a racist, because I like him.
I think you need to look into your heart as to why you like Reuben over Clay.
It ain't because he's black, and I prefer a black guy over a white guy. Let me go over to Chakia. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Sir, I have to say that your comments are totally, totally ludicrous in my opinion. It's ridiculous that you would want someone to pacify, if you will, a race, because you think that would just shut them up. Would I vote for Reuben versus Clay because he's black to shut him up? Of course not. I honestly think Clay is a better singer, and that's coming from someone who is a black American, and it's just totally ridiculous.
But
that
no,
you
wait,
would,
no,
you would go into these extremes.
You're African American, correct, ma'am?
I'm black American. I don't use the title African American.
Yes, ma'am. Well, can I ask you why? What's that about?
In my opinion, African American is a form of ethnicity. Neither of my parents are from Africa, I wasn't born in Africa. Neither are they. So I'm American and I'm black.
See, here's the deal, Phil. And there's another thing, Chiquita, because I'm trying to do the right thing. It's tough for me to stay up with all the latest lingo, you know.
Now, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So now I'm going to go to school on Monday, and I'll say African-American. Some kid's going to think I'm wrong. What I'm trying to do is keep most of the black African-Americans calm down so they don't think there's a whole bunch of bigots running around. And we'll just vote for Reuben. Let him win, for God's sake. See?
What?
Now, you're a black American. You're not a... What if I called you African American? You got upset with me.
No, by far did
I
get upset.
I could tell there's a little upset.
No, she was not upset. She corrected you.
I am not upset. There are probably folks who are very fine with being called the term African American. That's besides the point. That's not the point of the phone call. What I am saying is that I think it's ludicrous that you would want to pacify a race because they are a race.
No, because a lot of the blacks, not you, but a lot of them go wild if they think they're being there's a racial the racial.
Let
deal.
Me let me
people,
also
people
say
always...
that I do agree that to a certain extent a lot of black Americans do push the race car and I
there
really do think a lot of times that the race car should not be pushed. However, the race car does not push for you guys, in my opinion, to just say, okay, here, she's black, let her go ahead and cut in line. Here, she's black, I'm going to go ahead and listen for her to sell me a car.
But otherwise, here, they go wild on you. And
no,
Chiquilla, people are always nice and polite to you, aren't they?
I feel very sorry that you have had, you obviously
aren't
had some
nice,
experience
are,
in your life.
Aren't people nice to you?
They're nice to me because I'm a nice person.
Because they don't want to make you angry because you're black.
I don't get angry.
Wait a minute. This lady, take her on her own merit. She's an individual person to say that people are only nice to her because they don't want to make a black person angry.
No, I can tell by the young lady. She's a mannered young woman, and she's a nice young lady. And you have a little child there. I'm just saying that on top of that, they may say, well, you know what, she's also black, so go ahead and cash the check. Otherwise, we're going to have them go wild on us.
Well, this going wild on us thing is what I don't like.
Right.
You know?
Well, I don't mean you, Chiquilla, but I mean in general. You get a lot of them running in the street or whatever. And this running
they're
in the street.
Running around loose without a leash.
Yeah, running around in the street.
Yeah, running around loose without a leash, right?
No, ma'am, not at all. No, ma'am. What I'm saying is just getting crazy.
Like the Rodney King riots you brought up. Nobody's going to riot if Ruben loses on American
by
Idol.
By far.
Chiquilla, thank you for your call. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier. He's a high school teacher. He is a teacher of a guidance class, race relations. He believes that we should just vote for Ruben on American Idol next week because he's black, and that'll keep black people calm down. If we don't, they'll get, as he says, wild. Should we vote for Ruben because he's an African-American and that'll calm down African-Americans, or should we vote for him because he's the better singer? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher who believes we should vote for Ruben on American Idol next week to keep race relations intact. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about, Vernon. I understand you're a man of integrity. You want to teach your kids to be fair-minded people, but pandering, I think...
Bill, it is not... It's, I really resent you using the word pander.
How is it not pandering?
I'm going to give you an example of something. A young lady at Costco, I was over here at the Costco market the other day, which is one of our local stores.
I'm familiar with it.
All right. And she had a sausage sample that she was giving out. Now, I have a high cholesterol level. My doctor has told me that I need to stay completely off of fat, and because of that, I should really stay off of meat. I have a high cholesterol count, but this young gal was giving out these sausage samples, and she was a black African-American. And I said, Jesus, if I pass this up, she's going to think I'm some kind of a Klan.
Oh, come on.
Believe me, Phil, I got more experience in this than you do. She's going to think I'm a racist or so. I got an attitude about the black person, something like that. So I went ahead and I took it.
And you risk a stroke eating a sausage that you shouldn't eat because you don't want to offend a black person.
Phil, I would rather do that than have her go running to her superior about the racist customer. And I got home, I had some discomfort in my left arm, but I was fine.
Discomfort in your left arm, that's the sign of a heart attack.
I had discomfort, but I was fine, and it was worth it to me, rather than have her go running off to her superior screaming about the Klansman.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kay, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I think this your caller is, I don't know, insane. As an African-American woman, also an educator, black people do not automatically assume every incident is racist. Who wins this singing contest? I don't even watch the show.
But I just want to stay on the safe side.
It's not important.
I want to stay on the
safe
side.
That is not an issue of being for us to riot over. I really think he's exaggerating. I'm not sure what his experiences have been with African Americans, but you seem to be generalizing them and categorizing them into some, you know, like we're walking around with chips on our shoulders.
Well, no, ma'am,
and
all I'm saying is
the case.
I'd rather deal with chest pains than the NAACP. I would rather have...
You risk a heart attack eating that meat...
I'm not even a member of the NAACP.
Well, ma'am, I know that.
This makes no sense.
But she'll go... This gal will go running off to the NAACP and say I'm a racist.
That's ridiculous, because you refuse... She probably wouldn't even pay attention. People refuse that all the time.
Look, I
don't eat off of those things because I don't eat food that's out in the open that other people have been breathing over.
Well, you can do that.
It has nothing to do with race.
But you can do that because you're black.
I really think you're being overly sensitive.
Well, ma'am, I just want to stay on the safe
really
side.
I really do.
I just want to stay on the safe side.
That's
believe me,
ridiculous.
I teach
that's
high school.
I teach high school also.
Well,
you know,
can you hang on, Kay? Kay, can you hang on, please? Can
sure.
you hang the line? And you too, Vernon?
Well, I'd like to say.
Just hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
8-6. We're back with Vernon Dozier. He's a high school teacher. Give me an example. You're talking about how we should vote for Ruben on American Idol next week. He's the African American. Clay is the white guy. Vote for the African American so the black folks won't get upset.
I want to give you an example here, Phil. First of all, I have a black neighbor. He's a good man. His name is I shouldn't give the name.
But don't give the name on the air.
All right, but he's a nice man. There isn't a function at my home. There isn't a barbecue. There isn't a baptismal party. There isn't a wedding reception. Nothing that I don't invite him to. He's always invited to everything in my home because the last thing I need is this guy down the hill saying that I'm Klansman.
Just because you don't invite him to every event?
I don't need him thinking that I'm snubbing him. Now, I had him over for a barbecue here, and one of my friends, a guy that I work in the insurance business with because I have an insurance agency on the side, and I do some business with a lot of the families in our school, told what I consider to be an off-color joke. It was a racial joke.
Okay.
Before I even knew what I was doing, before I even could consciously be aware of what I was doing, I had grabbed an empty beer bottle, and I remember because it had a Budweiser label on it, I grabbed an empty beer bottle, and I swung it right against the side of this guy's face.
Good Lord.
I know. It was a...
That's an unbelievably violent reaction. Couldn't you have thrown the guy out?
Phil, I'm telling you, it was unconscious on my part. But it had a good ending because, number one,
your neighbor?
Yeah, my neighbor. He was so shocked at what I did, he forgot about the joke. See what I'm saying? Now, the man, you're right, I hurt him. I fractured a part of his jaw, but... it did send a message. You come to my house, and you try telling some kind of a joke that's going to make one of these to make the Africans crazy. And brother, you're going to get a beer bottle upside your head.
You know what I'm hearing here, Vernon, is on the one hand, you're saying that you do not like racial racism. On the other hand, you don't like racism because you don't want to get the blacks crazy. And there's a I don't know.
You're having a hard time understanding. That I am a fair man, and it drives you nuts.
No, I what I'm hearing is, there's a dichotomy going on. Let me go back to Kay, because I knew she was waiting for us. Then we'll move on to some other calls. Kay, go ahead.
Yes, I'm not sure why this gentleman thinks he's fair when he's generalizing and assuming that African-Americans are walking around with a chip on their shoulder waiting to go off on any racist incident, and that's just not the case. Most often, some people are used to it, and they ignore it. Some people are not used to it and don't even recognize it. You're generalizing, you're assuming we all act a certain way, and that, oh my God, don't make them mad because they'll come in your house and shoot you.
Well, don't you think it's better to err on the safe side? See, I threw that bottle against that guy's head, and that made it clear, in case this black neighbor of mine was going to go crazy.
Why can't he just be a neighbor? Why does he have to be a black neighbor?
Well, no, but I just say that to make the point, you see what I'm saying? And this guy made this off-color joke, so I caved. You should have seen it. I cracked this bottle right across the side of his face.
So you're proud of yourself?
I'm sorry?
You're proud of yourself for doing that?
Hey, nobody comes to my home and tells a racist joke with one of my, black friends there.
You know,
I can't believe this guy.
What's wrong?
Responding to a racist joke with violence would not impress me. You know, there's a way to handle that. That wouldn't impress me.
That would not impress you.
That would not make me think, oh, yeah, he's a really cool guy. Because for all I know, that you could tell the same jokes when you're not around your black friends. So,
you see what I'm doing?
The pattern that you think
This is what I'm saying, Mr. Henry. You can't make a lot of them happy.
Let's not talk about this lady like she's not here, okay?
But I'm sad. See, you're not happy, Kay, even though I've tried every...
Because I just can't believe that you think like this.
Look,
it's funny to me. It really is. I'm not even upset.
I'm Catholic.
It's kind of archaic. I'm a Christian. I'm also a believer.
But I want to say...
I'm a believer before I'm anything else.
My daughter's confirmation is this Sunday, and even as a proud Catholic, I'm not letting her go because I'm afraid when she goes out in a white dress, okay, you see what I'm saying? Now I got a neighbor's going to think we got the Klan... having a Klan party.
Come on, man. Are you telling me a white dress?
No, sir.
He cannot be for real. Apparently, he's never stepped into a Baptist church on a first Sunday.
Well, ma'am,
there's plenty of white dresses all over the place in churches all over America.
You know,
all right. You know what I find interesting?
I gotta go.
You know what I find? You know what? No. That's fine. You can leave. But here's what I find interesting.
All right,
that's fine. But here,
I don't understand you, sir.
Ma'am,
you really are an extremist.
Ma'am. I teach my children in my school, and I teach the kids at home. You've got to maintain good relations with people of all races. And it's better. You saw what happened. You weren't in L.A. back in 1992. This town almost went up in smoke, okay? We don't need that to happen again.
So, therefore, let Ruben win on American Idol.
What does Ruben have to do with the decades of abuse that the people in L.A. felt that they had dealt
there you
with
go.
By
See,
the police?
That's what I'm talking about
that's
right
a,
there.
There's
See,
a difference when, you're, when there's a powder keg
there you
situation.
Go. And I'm trying to keep
How
the powder keg.
How is Ruben winning on this show? I don't know. What's the name of the show? American Idol? How is that? What does that have to do?
Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. You give them one.
You're ridiculous.
All right. Bingo. But you just made my point for me, by the way.
All right. Listen, Kay, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Marva, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, listen here. You know what? Cholesterol is not going to kill you.
Honey, you got to watch your language.
People should vote for who they want to.
Marva.
And you know what? I'm so glad that I do not have a child in that school area that you're teaching in because, see, you're the one that's creating
problems. You can't make them happy, Henry.
And the thing about it is I am a member of the NAACP, and we do not go around making accusations or coming up to anybody about something that you choose not to eat. We have documentations. We have to have more than just
you're going wild.
You're saying that I'm racist or you're racist because you didn't want to try a sampling of food. There's a lot of people that do not eat samplings of food because they choose not to.
I don't and need her to go nuts on me.
This thing about the white dress and everything. Listen, honey, you truly have to have a very darkened heart, and a heart attack is what's going to kill you, because the bottom line is that if you refuse, let your daughter go on something that you got deep in your heart, and you can't see us as nobody but African. First of all, that's all I've been hearing you say is Africans, and yes, you're right, I am upset because of your stupidity.
There you go.
And I cannot believe that they have you in the school system.
I hate that sausage.
That is allowing you to tell children to vote for this person. You vote for people on what is right.
On their merits.
Their talent.
Well,
and one is not better than the other one. So be it, but then to go around and patronizing us as blacks, that is utterly ridiculous, and I just can't believe they have you in a school system.
Well, ma'am, you're not allowing me to make a point here.
No, because you know what the points that you are making
are not standing for anything. Well,
they're
here
not
I am.
Standing for anything.
I'm trying to make a point.
We have enough problems
and you're
in
going
this society.
Wild.
We have enough problems in this society without people like you telling us that who we need to vote for to keep from having a ride. Everything that you
I'm on your said, side. I'm on your
everything,
side.
Every, no, you're not on
I'm
my
on
side.
Your side. Yes,
you're not on, you're not
I
on
want
my
Ruben
side
to win. I want Ruben to
Ruben
win.
Ruben is not the man when he's not the man. But at the same time, I don't know why we worried about either one of them, because both of them going to come out with a better contract than you and I put together.
Well,
so
that's
that
the truth.
Seems to be the problem.
Amen to
and
that.
And then the thing about it is, we are trying to burn from Martin Luther King from way on and say, let's unite. And you're telling people, vote for this person just so we can keep peace?
Yes.
You know, we need to be keeping peace with our neighbors. And I definitely wouldn't want to be a neighbor of yours because, honey, any time that you're going to patronize me and hit somebody upside the head because of a racist joke, the man wouldn't have told a joke if you had to put your foot down from the get-go and he wouldn't have thought it was okay. Because, see, I have white friends that come to my house and I go to their house and we just know it's certain things out of respect for each other.
Well, that just know that if you come
okay,
to my
but,
home
you know
and someone tells
I'm on my
a,
cell phone
a joke,
and I'm just not going to waste no
I'll
more
break
time,
a bottle
but I do enjoy the show. You have a good day.
Well, now, is the lady there?
Yo, I think her cell phone went out.
All right, well, I good, because I want to make this point, and I want to make it in peace without her. And again, there's one of them that it went, you know, they went wild there.
It went wild. They went wild.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. You can.
No, you just. I heard you say she went wild on you.
No, you heard her going wild, and I couldn't.
This is what I'm saying, man. She was angry, upset. She was exorcised. She was whatever the hell the word is that you use when someone gets really
vexated.
Vexated, something like that. But the point is, she was not going wild.
I tried to make a point, and she was going wild all over me. All right? Now I forgot what the point was that I wanted to make.
All right, we'll take another call here.
See, this is what happens. They go wild, and then you forget what you want to say, and now they got you where they want you, okay? All I'm trying to do is keep the peace, keep race relations good. I had a friend of mine when I was in high school, and he said that he'd like me to go out with his sister. Now, he was black, and his sister was black. And, of course, back when I was in high school, you never did this stuff. But I went ahead and did it anyway. And I got beaten up for it. But you know what? I felt better.
Because you went out with a black girl, huh?
I didn't. I went out with his sister. He was black, but she was white.
Well, I don't know what it is you're trying to tell me.
No, the point of it...
Never mind. Ferguson, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Ferguson?
Hey.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, man. Phil, you got a crazy guy out there, man. I believe he hates black. Because he uses that word so much, black.
There you go.
I believe you can't say, leader, right?
You can't say anything to make him happy.
I hate black. I believe you were a clown before, you know.
A clown?
Clown. I think you hang a few blacks before in your life.
You mean like Emmett Kelly was a clown?
Clans. K-L-A-N,
Klan,
not clown.
Ku Klux Klan, you wore the white seat?
I thought that's how you guys in Jamaica say clown. Clan.
Huh?
Well, look, Ferguson, I'm just simply trying to keep the peace between the races.
Listen to me.
And I'm the one dancing on hot coals to keep you people happy.
Let me give you a rude awakening, okay?
I'm dancing on hot coals to keep you guys.
We do not hate white. We do not hate black. Okay? I'm all the way. I'm not even American. And the word black, I despise that.
Oh, look at this. Now this guy doesn't like being called black. See, you can't stay ahead of him.
Why don't you just stop with the stay ahead of them stuff and listen to what the guy's saying?
Well, the last lady wanted to be black. He doesn't want to be black.
I'm a colored guy.
He's colored. Now, you try pulling that out.
The word black, I don't even use black or white.
You try pulling that out at any party.
Guy's name, sir or mister? That's the borderline, sir or mister. Why you have to...
I call a guy colored at a party around here, and I'm going to get a beer bottle cracked across my face.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, you need it. Because
I need it.
You wore a white suit in your life.
All right, Ferguson.
I wear a white suit.
Yeah, a white sheet over your face.
I wear a white sheet.
You have one now.
When I'm asleep, I wear a white sheet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, over your face.
Who's on my face?
All right, listen.
Ferguson, you got to understand. I'm trying to make peace. Who are you voting for next week?
Listen to me.
Who are you voting for?
Whoever wins.
You're going to vote for who wins?
Got my blessing. Okay? Whoever wins, he got my blessing.
Well, just know, and I want you to spread this around the neighborhood. I'm voting for Reuben. I'm voting for Reuben. All right.
You don't have to vote for Reuben because he's black.
Peace out.
Vote for Reuben because you believe he's better than the other guy.
Actually, I think the other guy is light years better than him. But the best thing to do?
Don't vote at all.
Don't vote at all?
No, don't
vote. It's my constitutional right to vote on American Idol.
All right, don't vote.
If Reuben loses, his blood is on your hands.
Whatever that means. Thank you very much, Ferguson. I got to take a break. I got to get going. I can't believe that you are expressing these points of view like that.
Look, Reuben is he's the shizzy to the nizzy. You know what I'm saying? He's fantastic. And what I'm trying to do here is...
Uh-huh.
What? Look, let me tell you something, Phil. I got something to tell you. We had the brakes done on our car, and we took them down to Calvin Brakes over here. And it's a black-owned business. Well, my wife got the car back, and she rear-ended a bus. And I said, look, honey, let me just take it to the Chevron station and get him fixed. Because if we take it back to the black mechanic, he'll go ape on us.
He'll go ape. There it is.
What?
There it is right there. He'll go ape on us.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You can't hang that on me.
No, this is what you've been doing for the whole hour. It's not about race relations. It's just keep them people down, those people down. He'll go ape.
Oh, you think... That's like Howard Cosell said, that little monkey.
I don't know what he meant by it, but I know what you mean by it.
Anyway, I said to her, let's just take it over there. I took her to the hospital for stitches, and she's fine. And these are the things I teach in a class. If a black guy fools with the brakes in your car and you go off a cliff, say thank you on your way down. And believe me, things are going to be a lot better.
Yeah, I hung up on him. He's gone. Vernon Dozier, vote for Reuben next week. Keep peace between the races. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Survivor Compton. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, that was me doing the voice of Vernon Dozier in that bit. Our website, philhenryshow.com, will teach you more about our radio show, what it's about, what it isn't about. It's about everything, and it's about nothing. It's about me. It's not about me. It's about the human experience. It's about the American experience. It's about the broad, forget it. Just go to the website, www.philhenryshow.com. That number again, 1-800-449-8686. Now, we also have our souvenir shop. You can get a Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. We have, well, you don't know who the Citizens Auxiliary Police is? We'll go into our comedy archives and find out about Jay Santos. Jay is one of the many characters we do in our show. We also have a Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Ted's one of our characters. We have a Bobby Dooley and a Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. She's one of the folks that visits us occasionally. So whatever you do, go to our website, get a backstage pass, only $6.95 a month, and check out what's new on the Phil Henry Show website. I have had for the last 48 hours this cold that has been going around the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's national, but it's local. I got Janice had it, then Mark got it, then I got it. That's about how it went. Don't infer anything from that. Janice had it, then Mark got it, then I got it. That's all I know. And what I did is I hooked up with the Chinese restaurant down the street for that hot and sour soup. That's the way to go. Chicken noodle, I don't know what that's about. People talk about chicken noodle soup. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Hot. What you need is something so spicy that your lungs burn clear out of your chest. And I get that hot and sour, oh man, is it good. You get the really good Chinese joint, get a hot and sour soup for two, but only you will eat it. Then you get them to put in the two little cups of chili sauce. That real hot Chinese chili sauce. Pour one of those in. Stir liberally. And then just slowly sup this hot and sour soup. I feel like 8,000,000% better after I had that. I've been sipping it here the first few minutes of the show and also in the office. Oh, my God, is it good. And, of course, excuse me for a minute. I'm going to have to hack my guts up. I have to turn the microphone off. Pardon theatrics. Then I married a gal, my wife Maria, who puts everything hot into, she spices everything up. And she made pizza the other night. Oh, Jesus. Did I tell you about this pizza she made? She put those shaved Italian peppers on it. The hot peppers with big little slices of garlic. It was great. It's great. That's the way to get rid of a cold. Didn't get rid of mine, but at least I feel better. A little bit better, anyway. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Well, they told me the music business is in the toilet, and I wouldn't have believed it had I not seen it for myself. I went looking for a couple of CDs today. I wanted to buy the new Linkin Park, and I wanted to get some, something like Santana. That's what I was looking for. I was looking for the best of Santana. I was looking for the essential Santana, or whatever the hell they had that would do the job. And Tower Records closed down out where I live. Warehouse closed down out where I live. The only place I could go to find anything was Borders Music and Books. You know, where you can go and get a latte, a book, and a CD. So the music business, and you want to know why the music business is in the toilet? Not because everybody is downloading off the internet. Forget that. The reason why it's in the toilet, and it's also not because the music is bad necessarily, it's that about 50% of the music is good as opposed to 100%. Let's say like 20 years ago, every, I don't know, maybe 10 out of, say if 50 out of 100 bands came along were good, now it's like 10 out of 100. In other words, the music is good, but it's being made by less people. There just aren't as many talented musicians, good bands, good songwriters as there used to be. I know there's a lot of good ones, they're just not as many. And the evidence is all around you. You look around, try to find a place that's open. I'm looking for a record store. You know what's really strange about going to a place that used to be open and then it's closed? Isn't it a little jarring? Isn't it just, holy Jesus, there used to be a record store. I thought I was just here like last week. It was probably 6 months ago that I was there. I pull up and it's empty. It's a haunted house in there. I said, well, I know where there's another one. I know where the warehouse is. So I got back on the freeway. I drove down another 3 miles. Keep in mind that I got to go between places that sell DVDs and CDs and tapes. They're like 8 miles apart. There's only two of them where I live. 8 miles apart. One's a tower, the other's a warehouse. Now there's nothing. Now I ain't saying that I live in the cultural mecca of the world. I live in Thousand Oaks, California. What do we got out there? We got Cal Lutheran University. The Cowboys used to train out there in the summertime before they said to themselves, why are we going to California when we could do it back? And we don't understand. So then they stayed in Texas. And that's it. That's the only thing that's going on out there. But, I mean, if a guy wants to buy a freaking Santana CD, what is that? That's not going to take a... That's not a miracle. That's not Jesus changing the water into wine. I just want to buy a lousy Santana CD and a Linkin Park CD that everybody and their brother's buying. They got to have that. Well, there ain't nothing. Because nobody's buying music, and these two joints are dried up like a ghost town. And then I went over to the warehouse. I pulled into the lot there. Same thing. And there's some... What is it? Is there a law in the state of California, or maybe it's a national law, that says if you close a business down, you must board up at least one window to make it look like it's closed down? Because I drove by, and there's a board over one of the windows. Well, the thing was in business 3 weeks ago. What, did somebody come by and throw a rock? Now it's officially closed. Clank. That's the trouble they're having, man, in the music business. And not that, you know, I remember when music was everything to me. It was everything. It was my life. I listened to it. I went to concerts. And I figured it was because I was getting older that I wasn't as into music as I used to be. But I still keep a pretty good collection in my car of CDs. I still keep a pretty good collection at home of CDs. And it's very eclectic, I think, is the word. My wife buys... Okay, what did she just buy? Norah Jones, is that it? She buys Norah Jones, then she bought the new Joni Mitchell, and she bought Savage Garden and some other things like that. And then I will occasionally, I bought this Linkin Park CD, but basically my tastes run to old guy crap, Santana and stuff like that, or some old blues, or, you know, when Dylan came out with his new album, that's it. But I try to stay, you know, I try to have some nice stuff in the car because I got a nice CD player there. I said, you know what, I got a little time to kill. I go up, gotta get myself a CD. Nothing. Nothing. So I went over to Borders, and I guess that's the way it's going to be now. You got to go to the bookstore to buy your music, because it's all getting consolidated now. It's the, you know, I mean, that's it. Maybe the days of the exclusive music store have died. Exclusively just music. Am I talking about anything that's really relevant here? I am? Okay. Anyway... It was just an experience I had today. I had to share it. I'm sorry. And I don't want to be, and I will not say what a lot of people my age say. Well, it wasn't like the 60s. The 60s, the music was so... Well, it was good. It was good. And the music today, there's a lot of good music being made. But you're right, there just ain't as much of it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. And my kids... who are music freaks, never buy a CD. They download everything. But I got to tell them something. They downloaded the Linkin Park. I bought the Linkin Park. There's stuff in that Linkin Park CD that ain't on the computer, on the internet downloads. Now, what do you think of that, kids? What you're downloading off of the internet, you ain't getting on the CD that I bought in a store. Well, here's a guy that thinks it's relevant. Guillermo?
Yes, hi, how's everything going?
I'm very good, how are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Are you a musician?
Well, I used to do a lot of music, but I've gotten out of it because it just doesn't pay.
Not anymore, huh?
Yeah, but I still do it on the side.
Right.
But I just want to say that I disagree with you saying that there's less talented musicians out there today. I think that what we're suffering from today is the fact that we've been choked out by the way everything's structured, primarily Clear Channel. You've got one large behemoth out there just owning 1,800-plus radio stations.
Clear Channel is a company that I work for, by the way, folks, just so we can be clear.
About the channel. So anyways, but right there you've got a...
So what about Clear Channel? What are they doing to you?
They're not doing anything to me. I'm just observing some of the changes that have been happening in the last...
Like what? What are they doing? What are they doing?
Well, who controls the playlist? Who controls what's going out there? The record companies are forced to deal with lots of middlemen to get anything to play on the radio.
You know where the music buzz starts? I was a music director. I was a music director for 3 years in the 70s. You know where the buzz starts on a band? It doesn't start from the radio. It does not start. The buzz starts in the clubs. And it starts in the live performances. That's where the buzz starts. That's what gets record companies and radio stations, more importantly, radio stations interested. I would propose to you that bands are not as patient as they used to be and are not out working those clubs and working those live dates and touring and gigging and getting to the audience, because the buzz starts there, the fan base is there. And I mean, I know of bands that get no radio play. One of them is this AFI. You ever heard of this band?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
They get no radio play.
Another one out there called Ozma.
AFI gets no radio play. They get no MTV. All they get is an article about them in Spin magazine this month. It's a big 4-page article about these guys. Why? Because the fans know about them. The buzz is there from the fans, and that's where it starts. And I would propose, and you don't have to agree with me, but I would propose the reason why musicians have a harder time today, if what you say is true, that musicians are every bit as, that's the wrong way of putting it, that there are as many talented bands today as there have always been, I propose that they are not patient, that they are not working their live dates as rigorously as they should, that they're not getting out and making contact with the audience. And a lot of bands today don't even write. They don't even write their own lyrics.
I can agree with that statement. Not because there's a lack of musicians, but the good old
stick-to-itiveness and hard work ethic and all of that baloney. Because, believe it or not, guys, that's the truth. And thank you very much for your call, Guillermo. And when you have a cold, there's certain names you can't say. You know, when I'm not sick, I can say anything. I can say Adolf Schickelgruber, anything I want. But I got a cold now, Guillermo. I have to stop and think about it. I got to take a run at it like it's a long jump event. The bands today, everything is like now, 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 now. This kid, this Kelly Clarkson, let's look at this. And she's talented. Don't get me wrong. She's a very good singer. She goes to American Idol. She makes it. A 1-in-a-million shot. Now, there's a million kids out there think all I got to do is get on American Idol, man. How many of them are going to go and play night after night after night after night in a club, night after night after night after night, hauling their own equipment in and out of auditoriums, in and out of clubs, in and out of Legion halls and armories and parties and loaded into the van, take off, go to another town, another town, another town. You know, in the early days... And I'll just use a band as an example, Lynyrd Skynyrd. You can use any band like now, Pearl Jam. Used to tour 300 out of 365 days a year. 300 out of 365 days a year. Skynyrd did that back in the day. 300 dates a year. Why? Not because anybody was forcing them to. Not because there was a record company telling you had to. Because they wanted to do it to maintain that connection with the audience. Because the minute somebody walks out of a concert hall, I'm guaranteeing you the first thing they're doing is they're going down to a record store looking for that guy's, looking for that band's music. But if you got somebody, and I ain't blaming everything on American Idol. American Idol's a good show. It's a fun show. It's a game show. It's a game show. This is what I keep telling people about reality shows. They're game shows. It's just a new kind of game show. We used to have Wheel of Fortune is like an anachronism in a lot of ways. It's a dying breed of show. It's the last traditional game show. But the new game shows are people on islands eating rat meat. The new game shows are people eating having bugs crawling into their eye sockets. In the game show of 10 years from now, it'll be someone purposefully giving themselves gonorrhea for $1 million. Who knows what it'll go to? And, you know, becoming a winner on American Idol. But I think it sends kind of a message to a young person who may be 11, 12, who the hell knows, says, well, all I got to do is do that, and I can be a... Who the hell wants to do the stuff I just said? Hey, man, why don't you go out and pump it and hump it and do it and screw it? You talking about music, Phil, or, well, I don't want to do that. I want to get that gig like that Kelly Clarkson got. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Everything I'm about to tell you is true, so I don't want you to think I'm hiding any details of anything because I'm trying to protect myself, because I'm not. There's nothing that I need to protect. I'm totally upfront with what I'm going to tell you here, and I don't have to hide anything. But first of all, I believe, I don't know for a fact right now, but I believe that payola exists in the radio business. And what is payola? You may ask yourself, what is that? That's when a record company or a record promoter of some kind pays a radio station, or pays a radio station's music director, program director, or pays a radio station's disc jockey, or pays some member of that radio station's personnel to get his record played. That's against the law. And it actually was made illegal back in the 50s, I believe. I don't think it was against the law before the payola scandal, so-called, in the late 1950s, which indicted, among other people, a guy by the name of Alan Freed. Some of you may remember that name. But I believe it happens, because I happen to know it happened back when I was a music director in the 70s, and I worked at a variety of rock and roll stations, mostly in the Southeast. And here's what I mean. Here's what I mean. I'm not saying anybody would offer me money. I'm saying that on any given day, as a music director, and that is, I was responsible for adding the music on a rock station. At that time, I was in Miami. On any given day, a record promoter would come in from record company A or B or D or whatever, and would have a vial of Coke. And would ask, would you like to chop a couple of lines out and listen to the new album that I brought? And honest to God, I never did. For one of the reasons was I had put down in those days. I was like practicing Taekwondo, and I was sort of purifying my system through the whole yogic prana thing. Don't ask me. It was, you know, I had a new girlfriend, and she was like really impressed with how healthy I was. Anyway. So I would always decline, but the connection is obvious. Do a couple of lines of coke, listen to my record label's band, and why not add it? Come on. Don't you think the guy would feel a little bit beholden? It happened all the time. And then what's the difference between, well, I don't want to get into too many stories, but what's the difference between taking money and drinking the guy's champagne, or coming back to your hotel room and finding a couple of chicks waiting there, or another vial of Coke sitting there on a coffee table? Hey, thanks for everything, Charlie. That kind of thing. These guys get paid all the time to play music. And I believe it's happening today, probably as much. I don't know. I can't prove it. I haven't seen it. But I've been around this business long enough to know what happens. And you go tell somebody else, man. Go peddle your story to somebody else. I happen to know how this business works, and I know that there's record companies paying to get their records played, period. Now, just going back to what that gentleman said before, that is unfair to musicians who are trying to get heard. But I will tell you this. All the money in the world doesn't make a bad record better. All the money in the world doesn't keep a band on top if they really suck. And as much as I may not like NSYNC or any of those kinds of bands, I recognize that music for what it is. It is a timeless kind of music. It's music intended for young teenage girls, and we've had it since time began. We've had teeny bopper music since time began. We've always had it. In fact, NSYNC is way better than the teeny bopper stuff that was happening when I was a kid, which was the Monkees and just crap. I mean, I think there was a band called Just Crap. And they played all kinds of wonderful teen music. And now, Just Crap. Huh? Who? Herman's Hermits, all that crap. But all the bread in the world isn't going to make a crap record any better than it is, and it isn't going to make a crap band any better than it is, and isn't going to give them any more of a career. However, that's really not, it's kind of a weak excuse, and I don't even mean to be giving an excuse. It's a weak argument, though, when you put it up against what a really good band is up against that can't get any radio play. You're right. And I don't know what the solution is. Maybe they need to reopen the Paola situation in Washington. Maybe they ought to throw a few guys up in front of the senators again like they did back in the 50s. Maybe they need to, maybe some young enterprising congressman, some young enterprising member of a congressman or a senator's staff ought to, put the bug in some old guy's ear, some old senator from West Virginia who is, already sounding so tired they want to drag him out of there in a net. You know, that bird guy, how about him? I would love to, just get off the kick with Bush and do something that'll help somebody somewhere. Open up the Paola hearings and let's hear what's going on. I would think that that'd be very healthy, and I think they should. I think they should. You're not going to win the argument, hey, there's too many, it's just too few companies that own radio stations. Forget it. However, you can possibly make inroads by revisiting the situation vis-a-vis Paola. And then you can find out whether they're clean or whether they're not. Okay? I ain't accusing anybody. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm not accusing any individual or any individual company of anything. I'm simply saying the time may be right for them to start looking into that stuff. But I still insist that the real buzz about any band or any musical act comes from their live audience, and I don't think that the bands today are willing to put the time and the energy into some very, very hard road work, hitting the road and doing all those gigs and whatever. Who cares, right? Like you, Pelton. You sitting here day after day. Your band needs to go out on the road, man. Now get lost, will you? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Doesn't my throat sound so much better after that hot and sour soup? Oh, my God. Well, I feel better. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, have you heard about the Hitler miniseries? Have you? You've heard about the Hitler miniseries, right? Well, guess what? Guess what? Two Texas TV stations refuse to play it. They're two CBS affiliates. One of them's in Laredo, Texas. And another one's in Corpus Christi. And they don't want to play it because they think it's going to give rise to neo-Nazi sentiments in that part of the country. Wow, what controversy, right? Yeah, right. Let me tell you what. This is another example of corporate crap. I'll bet you anything. CBS is trying to make this show more interesting than it is by phonying up some affiliates being outraged by it. I think it's phony from the beginning to the end. What do you think of that, CBS? There's no affiliates down in Laredo, Texas, or anywhere else that doesn't want to play your TV series. Somebody in your company went to them and said, look, why don't we get some heat around this thing? Because you know what? People are mostly like a big fat yawn on this deal. So if we can get some heat going, get a little controversy going, tell you what, why don't you guys pull it and then we'll react in a outraged way. Here's the network's response. The network's response is, what the hell is the network's response? I can't find the network's response. O'Toole is an actor. What am I looking for here? Fred Hoffman. Is there any response from the network? This is such a badly written article. It was written in the Knox News, whatever. But the network did say something along the lines of, we feel that it's appropriate and very educational, and we are very sorry to hear that some of our affiliates... Oh, come on. This is the kind of thing that that I've devoted my life, really, my life's work at least, the last 15 years of my life, I have devoted to uncovering stuff like this and making fun of it, and sometimes just talking about it straight on. And that is the bullcrap that is flying around this business in the electronic media, whether it's television or radio, the phony controversy, the manufactured superstar, the manufactured controversy, the manufactured contretemps, the dummied up outrage. And you got another example of it here. Boy, they're really pulling it. They're really having to scrape the bottom of the barrel here. CBS, so that somebody will pay attention to their Hitler miniseries, which is very contemporary, by the way. Well, it's about Hitler as a kid, and I guess that's a new approach. But the fact of the matter is, 98 million books have been written about Adolf Hitler. I don't know why any of these things... I don't know why this show should be any different than any other dull-ass show about Adolf Hitler. But these guys at CBS, I got no doubt, would pick up the phone, call an affiliate, say, why don't you guys pull it, and then what we'll do is... really? Okay, and you know what we'll do for you? What? Well, the next show that comes out, we'll go down, we'll premiere it. You know, we'll do something for you clowns down in Laredo, Texas. You know, you know they scratch their head like they're the pet chimp. You run off and you do daddy's business, and we'll see what we can do. Thank you. Okay. That's an example of what's an example of what we're talking about here. This thing is dead. I mean, absolutely dead. For instance, Steven Spielberg, when he had that Minority Report, remember that movie? Of course you don't. I went and saw it, and it was okay. It was all right. Steven Spielberg was quoted liberally throughout the weeks and even the months heading up to the premiere of that film as saying that the United States was in a similar situation with the Patriot Act, the similar situation to what he was portraying in his film Minority Report. The people who are innocent may be accused of a guilt before they have due process. That the world that he depicted in Minority Report was, in point of fact, coming true right before our very eyes with the passage of the Patriot Act and with the passage of these laws that were going to spurn terrorism, and oh my God, you better watch out, but boy, aren't I just prescient. Me, Steven Spielberg, I made this movie, and isn't it timely? Oh yeah. Well, the movie comes out, it's a big fat turd, it leaves a stink like a sulfur bomb, and you never hear any more about it. And as far as the Patriot Act throwing people into concentration camps, I ain't seen one yet. As far as the Patriot Act creating the new detention centers, I ain't seen one Arab in a detention center. 99.999% of the Arab Americans in this country ain't even talked to a cop over the last 2 years. But you got to promote the movie, so you try to hook in something. You try to get something going. That's the stuff that I can't stand. Probably because I was the victim of it so often myself when I was in this business as a disc jockey. I was on the other side of it, trying to create this stuff, trying to create this controversy. It is just so, man, I could eat glass. For instance, the other day I said it would be the Spurs in five. Was I right? You bet. It's the Spurs in six. Why? Because I was trying to create some controversy. Spurs in six, man, they did it. And did anybody ever believe that they wouldn't do it? Of course not. The Lakers, they were never in this thing. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You can tell by the sound of my voice, and I won't hide it. I'm battling a some kind of a cold, some sort of bug, some sort of virus. As far as I know, it isn't SARS. And it's not SARS. Don't worry. So I'm drinking as much hot liquid as I possibly can here, and I'm going to take another little break, take another little tea break, and be back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Get ready to flash back to the 70s and to the 80s as Hollywood Studios, spurred by Charlie's Angels Search. By Charlie's Angels Search. It says Charlie's Angels parentheses search. God, I am sick. By Charlie's Angels, $125 million plus success, reinvent hits of television and cinema past. Charlie's Angels really opened the bank as far as Hollywood is concerned, said Bill Hoffman, entertainment columnist for the New York... What studio was Charlie's Angels? All you got to do is go to... Huh? I know you're looking. All you got to do is go to IMDb. Sony, thank you. If you go to IMDb, it'll show you the studio, just like that. Sony. Now, they need the money, don't they? $125 million. It really opened the bank, says Bill Hoffman of the New York Post. Well, here's why... Hollywood obviously is excited. Here's why we're bringing this up, because they've got in development movies that are based on Starsky and Hutch, Magnum P.I., Hawaii Five-O, The A-Team, Knight Rider, MacGyver, and A $6 Million Man. Now, I'm telling you this because I know. I just know. Other than The $6 Million Man, which was kind of cool when it first came out about a guy in a rocket sled accident, like he gets his arms ripped off, all these other shows... Magnum P.I. wasn't bad. Hawaii Five-O had its moments. All these other shows sucked. They are picking the worst shows from the 70s and 80s to make into movies that I could possibly imagine. What, is there a rule or something? Is there a law that says, let's not, I don't want to do anything that was good. How about Streets of San Francisco? Forget it. I want just the worst stuff. Charlie's Angels, not just one, let's do two. Well, it had the chicks. I mean, they're beautiful. I understand. Now we'll also do Starsky and Hutch. You know, if I saw that Dodge Charger, what was that car those guys drove? There was a Grand Prix? A Gran Torino. Now, weren't they supposed to be New York cops? Every cheap-ass show in the 70s that wanted to be a New York-based show, they would film on location in downtown L.A. You know how I know? Because downtown Los Angeles looks, at least in the 70s, looks pretty much like a toilet bowl. Downtown New York, there's a little bit of character. There's a guy carrying a garbage can, and there's in downtown New York, there's people in overcoats, and it looks cold. And generally, there's a lot of brick buildings, and the buildings are a little bit closer together, and there's more of a shadow because the buildings are taller. Downtown, and also the streets are narrower. Now, that's when you're shooting downtown, you know, South Manhattan in New York. Now they're going to shoot in L.A. Well, nobody knows the difference. What do you mean? Well, no one will know that. We'll just shoot in L.A. and they won't know the difference. It's a city and it's got streets. Well, yeah, you're right away you know, because downtown L.A. has wide streets. They have boulevards, lots of boulevards. They're very wide. And I don't care what season you're shooting. If you're doing a location shoot down there, everybody's in shirt sleeves. There's also more garbage on the street down there than there is in New York. So you see a lot of newspapers blowing across the block. There's something with the, those grates that store owners pull across the front. L.A.'s got more of those than New York does. Far more of those. And, again, there isn't that ever-present shadow over the streets that a tall building will create. There's too much sunshine on the streets because there's only little three-story high buildings that were built around 1896, and they throw a shadow about a half, across a half the street. And that was Starsky and Hutch. Same thing with Beretta. Beretta, tough New York cop. Yeah, huh? Right there on Hill and 7th. Right there on Figueroa. Tough New York cop. You never saw the New York skyline in Beretta. you just saw downtown. Now, those are examples of shows that I thought were not very good. I hated Beretta because of that bird. I liked Robert Blake. I liked the old drunk that lived across the hall. I liked all of the stuff that he did and kicking ass. But that bird, I wanted to turn into just a blue plate special. God, I'd cook it and eat it in a minute. I hated the bird, and for me, the bird destroyed everything. And they're going to make a movie out of that? They're going to make a movie out of Starsky and Hutch with that Torino and MacGyver. It's a good premise. The guy that makes bombs out of a condom. The guy can make a high explosive out of a condom and a tampon or something. Then you have the A-Team. Never watched it. Show sucked. It sucked, believe me. Other than that one cat that was kind of funny. Huh? Murdoch. That guy was good. The rest of the show blew. Mr. T was fine. But the whole premise, the ex-Vietnam vets all get together and they go out and kick ass. And I know what you're saying, Phil. Why don't you watch it for what it is? A campy, funny... I firmly believe that when a show stiffs in its original intent, they always tell you it's campy and funny. I bet you when they first put that thing on the air, they wanted us to really believe these are seven serious ex-Vietnam vets or however the hell the many they are, and they're going to go out. And the thing looks so ridiculous that they decided to say, see, it's funny. It's campy. Don't tell me you guys are trying to pitch that thing as some kind of a satire. I know, that thing came out. Mr. T was going to be a sort of a pissed off black veteran who just happened to have a mohawk, but nobody was really supposed to focus in on it. Knight Rider, another show that was cute with the talking car for about a week and then get out of here.
Michael.
Well, not only was it a talking car, the freaking thing was a gay talking car. That was the thing that I
think we should go outside and have a talk about this. Do you mind removing your pants, Michael?
Why, Kit?
It just feels good on the seats.
So that was that, and then, you know...
Does my bumper look okay?
Yeah, it looks fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
You haven't said anything nice to...
What are you, gay? You're a gay car! Freaking gay car, man. But I have a list of shows that I'd like to see turned into movies... that were from the 70s, that were really good TV shows. Really good TV shows. Streets of San Francisco. That show kicked ass. That had Michael Douglas and Carl Malden as two cops in San Francisco just going around and being cops. You know, Carl Malden was always, like, telling him to, you know, watch where you're driving. Watch the kids. Watch where you're driving. It's like this old guy sitting there with a hat. And Michael Douglas is always pissed off, and he's trying to, you know, turn the car around the middle of the block there in San Francisco. They take that blue light and stick it on the roof. And there's Malden, who, with that nose, he looked like he'd been, you know, a couple of nights next to a jug, man. You got called in sick. He's like, just watch where you're going, watch where you're going. He's always like this old man on top of him, telling him, what are you doing? Well, there's some killers. I know, I just take your damn time. I'll get out of the car when I'm good and ready. Got that big schnoz on him, you know. But I love that show. And then Michael Douglas left that show, that thing went in a tank. They tried to get another guy, but it just, there was no good. Then you remember that guy Kolchak, the Night Stalker? Now, everybody has brought up Kolchak, the Night Stalker, in reference to X-Files. Which, X-Files is a great show, Twilight Zone, great show. But X-Files really owes a lot more to Kolchak, the Night Stalker, because it was about a reporter who worked for the National Ass Review or something, and literally would go around looking up these crazy things. The pilot was a vampire that he was on the, on the trail of. Why don't they make a movie out of Sanford and Son? I don't understand why that can't be a 2-hour feature about junk dealers in South Central. Tell me that wouldn't be relevant. Tell me that that program would not inspire just pride in today's black community. I don't know. I thought it was funny. 2-hour feature, and it could have some dramatic moments. Where's Wheezy? Or not Wheezy. Who's the chick that always died? The one that he was grabbing his chest and he was saying, honey, I'm coming? Yeah, his wife, Lisbeth. Lisbeth! What happened to her? And what happens to the son? Does he go off and... What the hell did he do? Was it junk that finally... Did he finally succumb to the temptations of the ghetto? I'd like to know. The other flick that they that I think they should make is out of a television show that was seriously one of the best ever, Miami Vice. Where's that movie? A really cool... There's so many cop shows based in Miami now, though. I mean, what was the one with Martin Lawrence? Bad Boys? And they were Miami cops? But I think a very cool Miami Vice thing going on. You know, I don't know. How about Adam 12? That show was great. Those two guys.
Well, like I say, she went around back.
Uh-huh. There was that whole Jack Webb school of directing. Where is she, sir?
She's out front.
Where'd you say?
Like I say, out front.
Okay. Well, we'll just go around back.
All right, you guys need the key?
How come?
To unlock the door.
Good idea.
Dun, dun, dun.
Guys, just...
You guys want to get in the back door?
Why would we want to do that?
Because you said you did.
Good. Dun, 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 dun. That's it. That's Adam 12, man. And then I throw this in because it was Janice's favorite show, Mannix. What was up with that guy? Hanging around these hill... Mannix... This cat was hanging around these Skid Row bars because he had informants down there, right? He's wearing the sports jacket with the Perry Ellis slacks and the freaking Jay Sebring hairdo, and he's hanging around Skid Row. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mannix, how you been, homeboy? Yeah!
All right. How about Welcome Back, Kotter as an action drama? Anyway. 1-800-449-8686. But Little House on the Prairie. Only they get killed by Indians. At the end, they're slaughtered. All right, it's Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, Dave. It's Don, right?
Yes, sir. My son's name was David.
Okay, Don. And your son died with the United States Army?
Yes, sir, he was. He was with the U.S. Army as they came into West Baghdad. He was killed on April 14, I think, in a firefight.
What was his rank, sir?
David was an E-5, which is like a corporal. And the thing of it is my wife, my daughter-in-law, his wife, my daughter-in-law, died from breast cancer last year.
Oh, God. So now you have your son, David's baby, with you and your wife?
My wife and I. We have the boy, Justin.
And how old is he?
He's 18 months old. And we kept him while my son was in Iraq. He's a beautiful child. And when he's old enough, I'll be able, I guess, to tell him that his daddy died fighting for our freedom. His mother cries herself to sleep.
Well, his mother is dead, right?
What I meant was his grandmother, yes, sir.
Your wife?
Yes, sir. And one of the things my son told me when he was dying...
Now, your son died in Baghdad, correct?
Yes, he did, but he did die in Baghdad. You're absolutely right about that. But we always had a very special relationship. And it was almost like he was reaching out to tell me that he wanted the boy to go to college more than anything else.
You know, I got to let our audience know, you're Don Parsley?
Yes, sir.
And Don, where do you live?
I live in Seattle, Washington.
And you're calling our show this afternoon and this evening to tell us about your son, David, who was killed in action in Iraq earlier this month?
Yes, sir.
And tell me about his, now you and your wife, and what's your wife's name?
My wife is Deborah.
Deborah, you have the son, you have your grandson with you.
Yes, we do.
And the reason why you have your grandson with you is because your son David's wife died from breast cancer last year.
Yes.
Wow. What a lot of bad luck to hit a family all at once. Your son goes to Iraq, and he's killed.
Well, I always have believed, and I've always told anybody who asks, you know, there's a plan for everybody, and I think God's just laying his plan out for me. But the thing, I guess, I know how my son wanted his son, my grandson, to go to college, but I'll do everything I can. But it is very expensive, I know.
Absolutely. Have you been in touch with the military authorities?
In what way, sir?
Well, your son, I don't know, but I think your son would be eligible for the GI Bill.
Yeah.
And other veteran benefits, and that would help, I'm sure.
Yeah, they say that, man, I'm going to look into that, but, you know, the government has a lot of red tape, and right now I have expenses, because obviously the kid needs food. And,
but you have income, correct, sir?
I personally?
Yes, you have income, you and your wife?
Yes, I do, but, I mean, I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, you could help support the boy while you wait for the income from whatever it is the government can do for you. Your son, who was a United States Army soldier, died in action, and I'm sure there is some kind of veteran benefit that will accrue to your grandson, his son.
Well, that's true. I'm sure you also realize that my wife and I, one of the things we've been planning for our retirement, and you got to juggle, I guess, a lot of things.
No, I know it's going to be a strain financially for you, but you can.
Well, that's exactly what it's going to be.
But you can be in touch with the government. You can get some legal counsel.
Well, that also costs money too.
Yes, it does. But I doubt that it would be difficult to find an attorney who would work on some kind of a sliding scale, some kind of a smaller contingency or whatever.
Well. I understand what you're saying, and that would be good, but, you know, my son died for this country. He died for America, and I'm just hoping that, you know, when the call came through that my son had died in Iraq, I looked at his little boy, and I realized that one day I'll have to tell him that his daddy died for America. And,
What is your grandson's name?
He's named after his father's, Danny.
Okay. And I have to tell you, on behalf, I'm sure, of my listeners, I thank you for calling in, and you have our respect, and I know that you will be able to see through this.
Yeah. I miss my son, and I hope that we can take care of the boy, you know.
I'm sure that you will. Can I ask you what you did for a living? Are you retired now? You indicated to Janice that you were?
Yes, I am, yeah.
What did you do?
I did a lot of things. Most recently, I wildcatted gas. That's not really important, though. The most important thing is...
But you have income.
I've got some for my wife and I, but I don't have enough for me, for three of us. I've got just enough for two. But now I got this, you know, kid, or I mean my grandson, and you know, I heard the young lady that answers your phone, that a lot of times people listening to these kind of call-in shows can sometime, you know, provide help for somebody in need.
Well, are you asking that, do you want donations from the audience?
No, sir, no. I'm just not sure how long it'll take for the compensation from the government. You know, but I'm too proud. When my boy's blood hit the sand, I knew that this young innocent child was my responsibility. And so I'm not about to ask for charity, but my son did die for this country, so I don't know what to think. Do people call in with donations?
Well, I don't know. Are you asking for donations?
No, sir. I was just wondering if you could, has the gal that answers your phone, has she taken any calls from people who...
Janice, has anybody called in wanting to donate money to this man? No one has yet. I don't, but we really haven't, really asked for any.
No, I was going to tell my wife we really haven't asked for any. And I don't want to, because I'm very proud and I come from a long line of proud people. And let me tell you, my father, he would have cut his hands off before he took a dime from anybody. And I'm the same way, except it's a little bit different now because I have this kid, you know, my grandson. That's always in the back of the mind of a military family, you know, that you'll sacrifice all, and most other people, civilians is what we call them, they don't lose anything. And just sort of take the whole thing for granted, you know.
Well, that's true. You know, we as civilians, we do.
We get used to people being selfish because as a military family, I just lost my son.
Do you want, but you don't want donations for raising your grandson?
No, sir, I don't. I mean, if somebody called in with some, I would take them, but only because the child has had, I mean, we've been battling lupus with this boy for...
Your grandson is sick?
Yes, sir, he has lupus.
Wow, that is very debilitating. That is very debilitating. Do you have medical bills?
Well, we do for quite some time. It's been tough. See, my son, Randy, died for this country. He was with the 101st Infantry outside of Baghdad when an enemy sniper cut him down. But if people don't want to donate money, I understand. But I remember the last words that John said to me before he shipped out. It was, Dad, please take care of my daughter. Please don't let her die, because I may not come back alive.
Wow. That was your son, huh?
Yes, sir. I thank God his mother didn't hear that. I'll tell you that right now. I thank God his mother didn't hear that. But
well, I do thank you very much, sir, for on behalf of all of my listeners, for your son's service to our country. I wish you the best of luck with your grandson, who I know is sick.
Yeah. But one of the things that I find kind of interesting.
Yes, sir.
I've been talking about my son, who gave up his life for this country, and you say nobody wants to donate.
Well, you don't want their donations?
I'm not asking. No, I'm too proud for that. But if you took into consideration the fact that I only have enough income for two people, and now I'm taking care of my son's son, I'm taking care of my grandson, which I never thought that I'd have to. I mean, that's...
It's a financial strain. So you're asking for help?
If people want to call in, I'm not going to insult them by saying no.
Well, I'll give out our phone number here. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, this is your grandson?
This is my grandson, yeah. His name is Jared. And when I told him that Daddy wasn't coming home because he died so people could live, he just cried. He just kept on crying. He wouldn't stop crying.
How old is the baby?
Baby's 18 months old.
All right, our number is 1-8. Hold on for a minute, Mr. Parsley, okay?
All right. Can I ask you something, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Can I give you an address where, in other words, if people do call and they want to give me money, what do you do?
I can have, if you want to give an address out on the air, I'd be happy to do that. I could clear it. I don't want to do anything, though, that is going to present liability for my show or for my company or the company that I work for.
No, I understand that. So I could give out a direct address?
If you want people to donate money to you, yeah. But hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. This guy's an interesting caller Janice took during our news break. His name is Don Parsley. His son was killed in Iraq. His son was with the U.S. Army outside of Baghdad. And he was killed. And Don and his wife, Deborah, now have their grandson, his son's son. There is no mother. She died from breast cancer. Mr. Parsley is on the show just to mourn his son. But I'm getting the sense that he wants people to call in with donations because he says he only has enough money for his wife and him in his retirement. He only has enough for two, not three, is the way he put it. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer.
I understand that. I'm on with Don Parsley, and your son's name is Randy?
Yes, sir.
And he was a specialist in the U.S. Army before he was killed in action in Iraq. When did he die?
I don't have the exact...
I'm sorry, but it was toward the end of the war?
It was when when they were around... and I'm trying to remember the name of the city, but they were...
You mentioned Baghdad?
Yes, they were around Baghdad, and then a tank fired at them and blew the building they were in. They were hiding out in a building. My son, though, my grandson is now, I'm taking care of my grandson, and I'm retired, and I don't have any money, and he has lupus, and my son just gave his life for this country, and the government's telling me I got to go through red tape, which I guess I have to do that, but it just doesn't seem right, that's all.
Well, you also intimated that you wanted us to get donations for you.
I don't want it to sound like I'm taking donations. If people want to call and give me money, I suppose that's okay, but see, I'd rather cut my own hands off, just like my father used to say, than take a donation. I swear to God, my wife would, if she knew I was on the radio right now talking about this, because every day she cries herself to sleep because of what happened to my son. And
your wife is Deborah, right?
I'm sorry?
Your wife?
Oh, my wife is Deborah, yeah.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Tracy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Parsley, Don Parsley.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Parsley.
Hi.
First, I want to say that my thoughts and prayers are with you for losing your son.
Thank you so very much.
How old is your grandson?
I'm sorry?
How old is your grandson?
He's 2 years old.
2 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
I know that you're not asking for donations, and that is something that, your wife, I know you said that she would have a fit if she knew you were on the radio talking about this.
My wife would, oh boy.
Well,
I just wanted to get it out. I just wanted to talk about my boy, and he went over to, over there, and now this kid, I don't mean to say kid, but he's my grandson and everything, but that's going to cost a lot of money. But I don't want it. I'm not asking for money from anybody.
I know you're not. I myself, I have lupus, and I know have lupus, and I'm 33 years old. So I can just imagine what it is like for a 2-year-old child.
That's what your grandson has, right?
She what did she say she had?
Lupus, isn't that what your grandson has?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I know the financial strain as far as doctor bills, medical bills.
Yes, ma'am.
Medicine, everything like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Put a strain on you, with you being, just having the money for you and your wife. I would like to give you something.
Well, that is awfully very kind of you, Tracy.
Ma'am, I don't know what to say. I don't want to take it, but if you want to give it, I mean, what were you thinking of donating? It doesn't have to be a lot.
No, I would really, I can't give you a lot, but I would like to give you $75.
Okay, that's okay. You can keep that. That's okay. No.
No, I want to.
No, it's $75. That's not going to go.
It will do.
No, but I mean, the lady is, through the goodness of her heart.
No, I appreciate that, but that's kind of, considering what I've just said about my son dying, it's a little bit of an insult almost.
Wait.
She's not trying to insult you. Are you trying?
Sir, I'm by no means trying to insult you.
$75.
I understand that.
You're going to buy me tap water these days.
Well, you know something, Mr. Parsley? The lady, out of the goodness of her heart.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I really take offense to that.
I'm telling you
myself, I know how it is to live with lupus. At one point, I almost died with it.
Are you saying you're sleepless, ma'am? Did you say sleepless?
Lupus. Lupus, what your grandson has.
Okay. No. All right, you can send it. I don't care.
I mean...
What is that supposed to mean?
I've got an address she can send it to if she wants to.
Oh, I don't get you, Mr. I don't get you.
610 South Ardmore Avenue, Los Angeles, 90005. I guess.
It's $75 is $75, sir.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't mean to say that. It just seems like my son's dead and everything. And
I understand that, and it's not.
Do you have any other accounts or anything?
I don't think that we can get into asking a lady that, Tracy. I think you're very generous, and I don't want you to feel bad. I think you're being very generous, ma'am.
And I almost don't want to spend it at all now.
Well, I mean, $75. What am I supposed to do with that?
I can tell you what $75 can do for a sick child.
Do you hear this woman is
upset?
This lady, absolutely. This lady's upset. You've upset her.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but when you said $75, I'm saying.
I I told you, I couldn't give you a lot.
The lady is, but the kindness of her heart, she's doing this for you. You know what? I want you to hang on the line, Tracy. I want to give you something, all right? I want to give you a gift.
Well, what about me?
What do you mean, what about you? Tracy, will you hold on for a minute?
Yes.
Okay, dear. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, hey, Phil. How's it going?
Fine, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I hate to sound...
I apologize to that lady.
Well, you obviously upset her. She has lupus herself.
It's $75, Mr. Henry. I can't... It's not even cab fare. Jesus.
All right, go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I mean, I don't want to bash this guy, but, I mean, the child has had two names now, and he's changed ages twice. And, I mean, now he's slapping this woman in the face who's trying to donate him money. It all doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like his story's straight at all.
I don't know what you mean, ma'am. My son...
What's your son's name?
My son's name is Randy.
And what's your...
You said the child's name was Danny, and then you said it was Jared.
It's Jared because that's the name that his mother knew him by, and we do it out of respect for her.
Yeah, but then you said it was Danny the first time.
Heidi, will you hold? Heidi, can you hang on the line, please? Because I had a lot of business to take care of, but I do want to keep talking to you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Don Parsley says his son was killed in Iraq and he would like some donations, and yet he really doesn't. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're on with Mr. Don Parsley. He is from Seattle, Washington. His son, and I forgot the name of your son, sir. Mr. Parsley?
Yes, sir.
I forgot the name of your son.
My son is
not your grandson, your son.
Yeah, I got confused. My son is Randy. And
your grandson
is David Jr. He's David. My son's name is Randy. My grandson's David. I'm very, very emotional about what has happened.
I know. It's been several weeks since your son died in Iraq. You're looking for medical. What you're basically looking for is money to support your grandson, because you're his sole support, you and your wife, the grandparents.
Yes. Yes, we are. His mother is dead. My son, Randy's wife is dead. Last year she had a heart attack and died. And then Randy went to war in Iraq and he died. And so now, you know, here we are. So if I could... I don't want any donations, but I know people have been calling in.
Well, the one lady called in and offered $75, and you turned it down.
No, I gave her the address if she really wants to give it to me that bad.
Why would you turn down $75?
Well, I mean, if you're going to call, I do appreciate what people are doing, but also what they're calling in, I mean, make it significant, or, I mean...
See, you know the old saying, looking a gift horse in the mouth? That's what you're doing, sir. You're people are calling in with a $75 donation, and that woman was in tears when you turned her down.
Okay, I mean, I'm sorry, but can I just say, if people do want to call in, and I'm not asking for donations, but if they do want to call in, if they could make it more significant amount of money...
Well, are you asking for a minimum be set?
I would like a minimum, yeah, of $100 at least. Otherwise, you know, they're wasting my time. I mean, I'm just trying to...
They're wasting your time.
Well, I don't mean that, but...
Well, I think the phrasing of that is wrong. Here is Wade on the Phil Henry Show. Wade?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Personally, this gentleman needs to be investigated for fraud. There's absolutely nothing else that's going on here. He cannot get his son's name right, can't get his grandchild's sex right.
Yes, I did.
Never mind. One minute, sir, it's your granddaughter. The next minute, it's your grandson. It's a kid. I'm sorry, sir, but if you were involved with your son in any way, shape, or form, you would automatically know his name. You wouldn't have to stumble over this. We're talking 2 weeks. You know, I lost my mother 15 years ago. I would never, ever forget her name. You, sir, I'm glad gave your address out because I hope the government investigates you for fraud.
Well, wait a minute.
There's absolutely nothing different.
I've been upset since my son died, so I'm in a little bit of shock. Haven't you?
You know, honestly, sir, I don't even think you have a son. I think you're running the biggest scam
Not
ever.
Now I don't. Not
and anybody
now I don't.
That ever sends you money would be a complete and utter fool.
Sir, no, you're right. I don't have a son. He died in Iraq 3 weeks ago.
No, you didn't hear my words, sir. You never, ever had a son.
Yes, I do.
Oh, and what was his name, sir?
I said his name was Randy.
Randy.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and what was his wife's name?
My wife's name or my son's name? My son's wife's name.
Your daughter-in-law.
She's dead.
That's not
what I asked. What is her name? What was her name?
Her name was Deborah.
Oh, hey, you got a name right. I'm pretty impressed.
Okay, well,
are you writing things
about?
Down finally?
No, you know, this is an insult. I never asked anybody for any money, but I just wanted to come on and honor my son, who fought for the United States Army in Iraq and helped everybody be free. And all I'm saying is you and all your friends get to sit out there and have fun, and my son's dead.
Sir,
See?
I wish I could believe you, because I understand that if you did have
a
son, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, sir. If
Thank
you did
you.
Have a son, you
and
would
also,
have had your act together by now, after 2 weeks, that you could remember your son's name when somebody asks you. You don't stumble over it.
Well, I mean,
if you were that proud of your son, you would automatically know. What's his middle name, sir?
Who?
That's my point exactly.
He said, what's your son's
thank
middle name?
No, sir, I didn't know what he was saying. And the other thing, hello? Oh, see, the other thing, Mr. Henry, that I feel it's necessary to mention at this time is that man, I could tell by the way he talked, he's from Canada, and they didn't do nothing. They sat and let my son get killed.
What is your? Are you still there, Wade? You are there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did you? So you heard that, huh?
Okay.
Absolutely. You know what? He hit it right on the head. I am a proud Canadian.
Okay.
But you know what?
Isn't that
but
true?
But you know, let me finish, sir. Let me speak. All right. I would stand shoulder to shoulder with any one of these soldiers that went to war. If I was asked to go, I would have went. And I was absolutely and utterly disgraced that my government didn't stand next to the U.S.
Well, so at least you can do is give money to my my grandson. Oh, you're laughing now. How can you laugh at a dead American soldier and his son who is...
I would never laugh at a dead American soldier.
Well, and also,
I have nothing but admiration for every person that gives their life to defend our countries.
And your grandson's name is what?
That's exactly what they've done.
I'm sorry?
Your grandson's name is what?
You know, I don't have to answer your questions anymore.
I'm just asking, what's your grandson's name?
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
All right, Wade, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Sandy on the Phil Henry Show. Sandy, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say I'm a single mom, and I have 9 children. Some of them are adopted. I have a Down syndrome son, and I actually have
what's
a
that?
Little bit of money in a bank account, and I was going
yes,
to
ma'am.
Give this man.
Yes, ma'am.
$2,000, which would make that lady $75 look pretty good. $2,075 would have been great.
Yes, ma'am.
But my name is Sandy. I think his name is Randy. His grandson's name is Jared or David. And at one point, if you could check the tape, I think he might have bought into the fact when the show said that it was a granddaughter.
I thought I heard granddaughter, too.
Do you have a tape of that?
No, I said my daughter, and you heard granddaughter.
You don't have a daughter.
No, but I met my daughter-in-law.
So when you meant to say daughter-in-law, you said granddaughter.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Who has lupus?
Who does?
Your grandson.
Yes, he
but
does.
But I thought it was the granddaughter that had lupus.
My daughter-in-law died of a... it was...
Okay, sir. Your daughter-in-law died in the first half hour from an automobile accident or cancer. Then she had a heart attack?
Yes, that's what I said. She had a heart attack.
In an automobile?
After her cancer.
No, look, my daughter-in-law was in an automobile when she suffered the heart attack. That's what I'm trying to say, but nobody Everybody asked what killed her. I don't know. Heart attack or an automobile accident. I don't know. And yes, during the autopsy, they found she had cancer. That's what I'm trying to say, but nobody will give me a chance to explain it.
What? You know, wait a minute. Say that again.
Ma'am, you understand, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. No. Oh, you're not the radio. You're Danny or Randy or... No. I don't quite understand. I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow.
But I do understand one thing, that you're trying to get a bunch of money, but you're not willing to say, I need money.
All right,
to
I'll
help
say it.
Whoever you're trying to help.
Well, how much do you... Did you say $2,000?
Yeah, would that be enough, or do you want me to up it to $3,000?
Yes, I would.
She's being sarcastic.
What if I reduced it to 25 and added it to that lady's 75, and then you'd have 100?
Okay, first of all, I'm on here with total honesty, and everybody wants to call up and make fun of me. Okay?
You weren't willing to accept graciously that people wanted to offer you money. You said, I wouldn't take it. I'd cut my arms off first. Well, this seems like the conversation should be over at that point.
Well, all I'm saying is, usually on call-in shows, people will offer money.
Then that lady called in and offered $75.
And it was not enough. Well, what am I supposed to do? Blow my nose with that? I gotta get some funds together.
$75.
Yeah, but her 75 and my 25 and somebody else's 1,000 because you were so good.
All right, let's cut through it. Why don't we cut through it? Are you going to give me money or not?
I'm not.
All right, well, I'm wasting my time.
How'd you like that?
Boy. All right, Sandy, thank you. Here is Donna. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Donna.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I'm calling in from Toronto, and I guess he's, you know, the gentleman here. I forget his name.
My name's Mr. Parsley.
Mr. Parsley. Believe me, I'm sitting here with my heart filled, saying, you know, I'd give you my 2 weeks check to help you towards your grandson. I'm a nurse. And I understand lupus because I've seen it daily.
Right, exactly.
I understand it to the T, and knowing that you're an American and healthcare is a big issue.
Right.
However, my concern is that this woman, who's also diagnosed with lupus, is offering $75, $75 plus my 2 weeks check as a nurse. You have turned it down.
No, $75.
This other lady.
I'm not turning down your check.
Sir, you know what happened is a half a loaf is better than no bread. That's what I was taught by my mother. And if you were honestly saying and giving the truth, because the first thing, your daughter died of breast cancer, your daughter-in-law.
My daughter-in-law died from breast cancer. That's right.
Secondly, the second story, when this other Canadian guy called, she died of a heart attack. It's two different stories.
Yeah,
I'm a nurse, and I know what's cancer.
You said that she died of a heart attack, which caused the automobile accident, and then in the autopsy they found she had cancer, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, then how can you say she died from breast cancer?
Mr. Henry, this has been a hard year for me. I've lost a daughter-in-law. I've lost my son, my granddaughter, I mean...
Your granddaughter?
My grandson, which is what I'm trying to say. And everybody's calling up and making fun of me.
No, nobody's making fun of you, mister. I'm telling you, Phil, I would have that police on the line because that's fraud. If your son died for the cause of our American society, I know the government of America will stand tall and help you with that grandchild.
Well, that's true. I mean, you got the GI Bill. There's a unit of the United States Department of Defense you can call for benefits, health benefits.
Yes.
Okay, so in other words, what you people are saying is I got to stand around on a telephone.
No, you don't have to stand around on a telephone. The government will help you. Also, society was willing to help you. But that first caller was your big blow. How much do you need that help, sir?
Well, ma'am,
that's
first
my
of all,
question
can I just
you.
Say something? Can I just say something to you, ma'am?
Yes,
you're making some good points, but getting the donations now on the phone is better than, because if I've got to call the government and I have, okay, first of all, my wife and I are going on a cruise, which is going to be in early June.
Right.
All right. I don't really have the time right now to...
Wait. You're going on a cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I'm not supposed to have a vacation. Oh, okay.
But, sir, you know what?
No,
how about that child, as much as it means a lot to you, how about you give that child up for adoption? if it is being a strain on your family, your wife and yourself, because you've expressed yourself, that all you is your leftovers for your just for retirement. This child with Medicare is a lot on you right now. How about you give this to a needy family who will look after this child?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How much is $1,000 Canadian money? Is that a lot or?
$1,000 Canadian money is might be about $750 thereabout.
What a chip.
Right? And my point is, I don't get $1,000 for 2 weeks. I don't get $1,000 for 2 weeks. I get far more. I'm a nurse.
Okay, now here's what I want to ask you. You said let me adopt the, or put the kid out for
for adoption. Okay. Because it's financially.
How much do you get paid for that? How much would my wife and I get paid for that?
You would not, because, sir, are you trying to get money to regain from your child?
I just want to be clear on something. Are you trying to tell me? Hold on for a minute. I just dropped something. Hold on, please. Are you not trying to tell me that the kid goes out and I don't get remunerated?
No,
what are you talking about?
How could you expect to get monetary gain from your child that you're having problems with maintaining presently because of health issues and because of all of this?
We want to go to the Amarabergauer in Germany, which is where Jesus and all that. And then another thing.
Well, come look at, pal. Get out of here.
Sir, you know what? I think you're trying to fraud all of us callers to give you money to go on a splendid vacation. That's not what it is all about, sir. And I think, Mr. Phil, what you should do is actually have the police get to this guy.
I think
all of this is fraudulent.
You know, you sound
cute. He has no facts together. It's all fraudulent.
You sound cute. Now, I know I'm right about that, aren't I?
Pardon me?
You sound really good looking. Are you?
Listen, it has nothing to do with this right now.
Yeah, you are. You are. You're good looking.
It has nothing to do with this, sir.
What are you trying to do? A minute ago, you had your grandson's dying of lupus. Your son's dead. Your granddaughter. Now you're trying to pick up on this woman. What is it with you, man? The lady offered you $75. You turned that down because, quote, it wouldn't buy tap water, end quote. Now somebody offered you the lady offered you $2,000. You said, how about $3,000? Now here this lady is a nurse, and you're trying to scam her. And not only that, you're trying to pick up on her. And on top of everything else, you don't even remember the name of what your daughter-in-law died from. It was a heart attack, it was an automobile accident, or it was breast cancer.
Are you going to be in the L.A. area, Donna, anytime soon?
No, sir. I'm in Canada. I'm in Toronto, actually.
It's like I could fly out here.
Never mind.
No, that's fine. That's fine, sir. Have a good day. And Phil, do what you have to do.
All right, Donna.
I don't have time to wait. This man is I don't want to.
All right, okay.
Have a good night.
Can I borrow $5? Can I borrow $5?
Bye.
Can I borrow $5? You idiot.
What are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Why?
She sounded sweet, and you let her get away.
What the hell is with you, man? Hello? Hello? All right, I think that guy was full of crap. But I could be wrong. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That was me doing the voice of Don Parsley in that bit. The people that called in, especially Tracy, thought that he was a real guy. And Tracy, we got on the phone with her during the break. Janice did. I say we. Janice did, because I wasn't about to bring myself to do that. No, Janice did. I didn't have the time. Anyway, we got on the phone and we told her what the show was about because she was crying, and we offered to send her a gift and she declined. That's how nice and sweet and generous a woman she is. I said, I'm going to send you free a Bobby Dooley spa robe from Western Estates, and she said, I wouldn't take that. No, she would have none of it. Speaking of the Bobby Dooley spa robe, you know, I was going to give one to Tracy for free, but the rest of you can buy it. That's right. Just go to my website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, And check out our souvenir shop, because we have the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, the black and white Phil Henry Show coffee and latte mug, the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, the Phil Henry Show shirt, the Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt, the Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. And I know I'm missing some stuff. Oh, yeah, we have the windbreakers for the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police, as well as the baseball caps. So it's just, it's a never-ending cornucopia of glee and joy. And the best part is, all of your Mother's Day and Father's Day shopping is done when you go to our website. Mom's Day, Dad's Day, just go to the website, go to the souvenir shop. Done, baby, done. It's a secure site. Don't worry about it. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.